This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
Good morning, it is Wednesday. Welcome to it, my friends, live from WMKT Studios in Petoskey, Michigan today. Making our cruise around Michigan in this great northern getaway, the summer vacation for the program, and WMKT here, gracious enough to invite us in as part of the Michigan Talk Network tour and the Steve Gruber Show, one of the 17 affiliates we have around the state, and we appreciate the hospitality, and let me tell you something about the hospitality so far around here. It's been fabulous. In Boyne City yesterday, met all sorts of folks. Roger from Boyne City, a gentleman who's called in from time to time. His buddy Don and Charles Vondra. Chuck Vondra, the undersheriff of Charlevoix County, checking in with us. Regular listeners all, and having a chance just to get our feet on the ground because we're going to be in the neighborhood in this part of Michigan for a while. And again, if you've got some vacation places, some summer places that are near and dear to you, please go to the Steve Gruber Show Facebook page, post them up. Show us what you're proud of here in the state of Michigan. Love to see that. Coming up in our tour of this part of the state, we're going to be on Walloon Lake, Crooked Lake. Ivy's going to continue to wake skate her way through. The kids are just going to enjoy it all. Attempting yesterday with my daughter to get her up on skis for the first time. Came really close, and then she said she wanted to take a little break. But we'll figure that out before this adventure is over, that's for sure. And Just a great time to be in northern Michigan. The weather's been terrific thus far. A little bit of rain today, but no big deal. It's all part of making Michigan part of those memories forever this year. Now, here's an interesting story to start things off today. It's one of those stories you're like, this should be a movie. In fact, it probably will be. Hey, Brittany, this is Dateline Grand Rapids. A British man who was once married to Hank Myers' daughter has been sentenced to 12 years behind bars for trying to blackmail the family by posting explicit photos of the woman online. That coming from news reports out of the UK. 38-year-old James Casbolt. He hails from St. Ives, which is Cornwall, England. Apparently he wanted over $3 million from Haley Myers' family to take off pictures that were pornographic in nature of her on the internet. That according to the BBC. Now, he apparently threatened the woman. He admitted to that. His ex-wife, as well as two other women, he admitted sending threatening text messages to all of those people. Meyer's spokesman declined comment yesterday, stating the issue is a private family matter. Haley Meyer and Casbolt married in 2011. Now, according to reports from the court, the two moved to Michigan, and Casbolt was later stationed at an army base in Texas when he requested photos from Haley Meyer. She reluctantly complied, they said. Casbolt posted the pictures to her Facebook page and to a pornographic website when the couple split in 2013. That also coming from the BBC. Now, threatening statements against Haley Meyer and her father, Hank, soon followed. One prosecutor saying that Casbolt told his ex-wife he would destroy her. He sent an email saying your dad could be lynched in the street. That according to The Guardian in the UK. So all sorts of nonsense going on. Casbolt's harassment toward Meyer continued after she obtained a restraining order. Another email said, if my terms are not met, I can tickle the public interest for years. Until the Meyer family is so infamous in the world, they will not be able to walk down the street safely. That came from the Daily Mail. I mean, he was all over. Hank Meyer is CEO, by the way, and co-chair of Meyer Supermarkets. He leads the Supercenter chain with his brother, Doug. The siblings the richest billionaires in Michigan. In fact, as we talked about yesterday, the richest billionaires in the region with a fortune of about $10.7 billion. But all that money can't buy you happiness, right? All of that money just buying you agony. Anyhow, I just thought that was a fascinating little story, a little twisted little story. If you better have a fine prenuptial agreement is all I'm saying. If your dad's worth, $5 billion or $5.5 billion being his share of the pot of money, yeah, you might want a really solid prenup before you go to the altar. I'm just throwing that out there. A two-month gap in emails from Hillary Clinton's private account during 2012 just happens to coincide with a period of escalating violence in Libya and the obtaining of a special exemption by her top aide, Huma Abedin, to work for both the State Department and the Clinton Foundation. The Daily Beast reporting late yesterday that no emails between Clinton and her State Department staff for the months of May and June 2012 are among the estimated 2,000 messages that have been released by the Democratic presidential frontrunner's account. A State Department spokesman told the Daily Beast that only emails related to the security of U.S. diplomats in Libya or the consulate in Benghazi were turned over to the House Select Committee. They're the ones investigating the deadly September 11, 2012 attack. Now, if true, that means neither Clinton nor her staff communicated via email during a period that saw three attacks on international outposts in Benghazi, including one on the consulate itself. Pretty hard to believe, isn't it? Pretty hard to believe. The attack on June 6, 2012 involved the detonation of an improvised explosive device outside of the consulate, prompting the U.S. Embassy in Tripoli to warn Americans about the, quote, fluid security situation in Libya. Ambassador Chris Stevens, as you well know, was killed along with three others in the September 11 attack, warned his superiors that, quote, Islamic extremism appears to be on the rise in eastern Libya. You know, at least he could speak the truth about what was going on there. 2 weeks earlier, on May the 22nd, the International Red Cross was hit by rocket-propelled grenades. 5 days after the consulate bombing, a convoy carrying Britain's ambassador to Libya was attacked with rocket-propelled grenades as well. Two bodyguards injured there. The State Department plans to release Clinton's emails on a regular monthly basis through January 2016 to comply with an order by a federal judge. Now, the next release is tentatively scheduled for Friday. Clinton campaign spokesman Nick Merrill released a statement saying, quote, more emails are slated to be released by the State Department next week, and we hope that release is as inclusive as possible. No, you don't. You don't believe that at all, Nick. Come on, Nick. You're hoping that she can weather this storm and still become the nominee. The chance of that, not likely. I'm telling you, Hillary Clinton is damaged goods. Hillary Clinton is not going to. She's not going to make it. No chance. This portion of the program brought to you by Consumers Mutual Insurance, a different kind of insurance company, a co-op. You are one of the owners. Find out more at consumersmutual.org. Consumersmutual.org. Find out more. It's my insurance company, and it should be yours. We'll be right back on The Steve Gerber Show.
Michigan's radio program of record is The Steve Gerber Show. Here is Steve Gerber.
All right, welcome back to it, my friends. Coming to you live from the studios of WMKT in Petoskey this day. Part of our great 2015 Steve Gerber Show summer vacation trip. And WMKT putting us up here. And God bless for that. In a few days, we'll be at WATT in Cadillac. We'll come to you live from Cadillac here in just a week, I guess. Somewhere down the road here. All right, so try this on for size. You'll like this. You'll like this a lot. This is from Libertarian Republic. But just when you think, yeah, and here's the thing, I have said for some time now that the one thing that appeals to the voters that are supporting Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders is oftentimes the same thing. Not the same policies, but the same sort of an appeal where these candidates are not terribly concerned about politics, but they'll step up and say, listen, this is where I stand. I mean, Bernie Sanders is an out-and-out Marxist. You know, he thinks this ought to be Red China. He likes the idea of socialism. Of course, they say this, these spoiled, rotten liberals pontificating from their Lear jets and their limousines. They pontificate about socialism and its attributes while enjoying all the benefits of capitalism and denouncing it all the way through. You know, jumping on their private jets and their limousines and counting their money made by capitalism while attacking capitalism. It's absurd, to say the least. But Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump have hit this same nerve because they speak the truth. Donald Trump, willing to hit back when he gets hit. Willing to stand up and say, this is where I stand, and not apologizing for any of it. Well, now Bernie Sanders has taken a surprising line on immigration. In a recent interview, he denounced higher immigration levels, which is pretty much supported by people across the board on the left for no apparent logical reason. But Bernie Sanders took a different tact. He says he believes that the invasion at the southern border is part of a right-wing Koch brothers proposal. I swear, I don't make this up. Sanders was being interviewed by Ezra Klein of Vox. Pretty left-wing deal, Vox, right? Who pointed out that Sanders' self-proclaimed socialist beliefs typically entailed taking a more international view of politics. The implications of that point of view, Klein suggested, include things like sharply raising the level of immigration we permit, even up to the level of open borders. Sanders said, absolutely not. Open borders, no. That's a Koch brothers proposal. That's a right-wing proposal, which says essentially there is no United States. What right-wing people in this country would love is an open border policy. I think Bernie ought to step back to his medical marijuana and get some out and spank a doobie. Because clearly he's been doing a lot of that. If he thinks that right-wing people, conservatives, want an open border. We want anything but an open border. We want a secure border. We want to know who's coming into the country. We want to enforce existing immigration laws now to make sure that illegals go through the monitoring system so that those that are members of hardcore gangs or are convicted felons, like the guy who murdered Kate Steinle up in San Francisco, don't make it through. We want to make sure that those come to our country are healthy when they get here. Basic health screenings, which is part of the immigration process when it's enforced. Klein countered by saying heavier immigration would allow the global poor to become richer. Now listen to this. Now listen to what Bernie had to say here. He said that would come at the expense of existing American workers. Bravo, Bernie. You're exactly right. We need to shut the border because it's damaging to existing American workers. Here's what he said, quote, you know what youth unemployment is in the United States of America? If you're a white high school graduate, it's 33%. Hispanic, 36%. African American, 51%. You think we should open the borders and bring in a lot of low-wage workers? Or do you think maybe we should try to get jobs for those kids? Wow. Even Bernie Sanders can make complete sense once in a while. I think from a moral responsibility, we've got to work with the rest of the industrialized world to address the problems of international poverty. But you don't do that by making people in this country poorer. Sanders' frank response puts the populist left-wing candidate exactly on the same place that Donald Trump is, who has surged in the Republican primary contest, in large part thanks to his severe denunciations of illegal aliens and illegal immigration into this country. It also puts distance between himself and Hillary Clinton, who has distinguished herself on immigration, mostly by promising to go further than President Obama did on the issue and basically work toward that open border policy. Sanders has shown signs in the past that he is less pro-immigration than some of his Democratic colleagues. In 2007, he was a major Democratic opponent of George W. Bush's immigration reform bill, arguing that welcoming more guest workers would drive down wages for American workers. And we reported here on this program yesterday There are now more illegal aliens in America by quite some, by a couple million anyhow, than our unemployed people here in America. Illegals, according to the report we looked at yesterday, comprise 5.1% of the current American workforce. 5.1% are 1 in 20 working in America illegally. Mm-hmm. Now, since launching his long shot effort to get the nomination for the Democratic Party over Hillary Clinton, Sanders has mostly avoided the immigration issue, though he said in a June speech he supports immigration reform that provides a path to citizenship for current illegals, which a lot of folks do on the right and the left. But isn't that interesting? Bernie Sanders totally opposed to this surge in illegal immigration, would curtail it, wouldn't allow it to go forward. Yeah, it's all right there for you. This part of the program brought to you by Mesa. Good health, good business, and great schools. It's the Steve Gruber Show on a Wednesday. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Steve Gruber Show. Do you ever get the feeling these days that somehow the whole world has gone, well, nuts, frankly? Let me share a story with you real quickly before we get to our next guest. The Daily Newspaper at the University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, issued a disclaimer with a recent article preemptively apologizing for saying that women menstruate. I can't make this up. The article in the Daily Bruin, published recently, is an opinion piece calling for the government to provide women with free tampons in order to promote gender equality. Now, before the article, though, there was this editor's note. This blog post refers to individuals who menstruate as women because the author wanted to highlight gender inequality in healthcare. We acknowledge that not all individuals who menstruate identify as women, and not all individuals who identify as women menstruate, but feel this generalization is appropriate considering the gendered nature, that is, of most healthcare policies. I read something like that and my head hurts. Of course, healthcare policy is gendered. You don't send a man to a gynecologist. And there's all these crazy things going on and things that are called microaggressions. Like if you say something like land of the free or America's the land of opportunity, apparently that's offensive to some people in this country. Unbelievable. Our next guest is Heather McDonald, Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute and a contributing editor of City Journal. She's also a recipient of the 2005 Bradley Prize for Outstanding Intellectual Achievement. Heather, I don't know what to make of these things that I... First of all, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me on, Stephen. That's just an absolutely horrifying story, but one that is perfectly in line with the trends that we're seeing in academia, which is an accelerating insanity that I can't even keep track of at this point. This past year has been extraordinarily depressing and disheartening because the fury with which students are trying to devise new ways to feel like they're victims and new categories of which they're somehow being discriminated against, and then the adults on campus completely kowtowing.
You know, when I read something like this,
victims, it's just I can't keep track anymore.
I don't know if there's any adults on campus with this. I mean, we're going to apologize for menstruation, really, because somebody might be offended who is a guy who says they identify as a woman. And you know what? I frankly don't care anymore. You know, the fact of the matter is that we need to get back to some common sense in this country. And it seems that common sense is the absurdity. And, you know, it's the things... Frankly, that George Orwell wrote about in 1984, about how we would start eliminating words because words would mean perfectly normal words would be taken as offensive or inappropriate or demeaning. It's an age of absolute insanity.
Well, but the insanity is of a particular kind. It's not a sort of a obvious communist or socialist insanity. It's an insanity of the desperate desire to think of oneself as a victim in a world, in America, that is, and especially on American campuses, that is opportunity filled, when the reality is that virtually every one of the official victim groups today is in fact the beneficiary of advantage and privilege, not the somebody who's been discriminated against or systematically deprived.
Yeah, if you're on a college campus,
As a female, I can tell you, I have been the alleged beneficiary of gender preferences all my life. I know for a fact that I am invited to participate in things because I'm a female. And yet the feminists would have us believe that being a female is a disadvantage. The reality is the opposite. You are, in academia above all else, but elsewhere as well, being a female is gets you a huge advantage over males for hiring.
And if you, I know this is also true, if you're a minority female for sure,
and
you wanted to apply for a loan to start a small business from the United States government, you're in first place in the line.
Sure.
Welcome to the party. How much cash do you want?
Right. And try getting a job in a law firm. I mean, that, you know, the racial preferences that go into college admissions are vast, but they never end. It continues into law school. If you are a black student with a minimum, you know, moderate GPA, you are going to catapult over your peers to get into high prestige law schools. And if you graduate, if you manage to graduate and pass the bar, you have an enormous advantage over getting hired by law firms and then, of course, into the federal government as well.
I'm going to take a terrible risk of being called a racist, but I will say this. Our current president, had he been white with his resume, his grades, and his body of work, would never have been considered to be president of the United States.
Well, I don't. That could well be. I can tell you that's probably the case at University of Chicago Law School where he taught, because it would be at this point the vast exception to the rule for any so-called person of color to be hired in an academic setting where he wasn't benefiting from huge racial preferences.
Absolutely true, and it permeates our society. And I'm going to ask you something political, and maybe it's up your alley, maybe it's not, but it makes me wonder, this whole victimhood mentality, this whole I'm a victim some way or another. I wonder if that's why Donald Trump is resonating for the moment, anyhow, in national politics, because he's not a victim, and he speaks his mind, and he doesn't kowtow. Maybe that's part of the appeal.
Well, I think it's really about the fact that nobody's got the courage to talk about the burden that illegal immigration places on our society. So, yeah, I think there is also just the fact that he appears to be utterly uncowed by political correctness. But I think the real core of the appeal is that he's willing to say things that even some of the more conservative Republican candidates are not willing to say about illegal immigration.
Well, I'm willing to say it. And the fact of the matter is, there's a whole lot of us out here that are just sick and tired of the nonsense, of the BS, of having to apologize because women menstruate, but some people that believe they're a woman don't menstruate. Well, you know what? That's foolishness, and I don't need to spend time talking about that sort of foolishness. As far as I'm concerned, there are bigger problems to deal with, and not whether somebody, you know, whatever. I identify as a billionaire, but I don't get a yacht tonight, all right? And that's, so it just really wears me out. I mean, there's a lot of people in this country that are worn out by this, the microaggression nonsense, the race, the politics, the identity politics, and all of it. I mean, we're fed up with it, and there's going to be a pushback. At least I would hope there would be. I'll give you 30 seconds for the last word.
Well, I would encourage your listeners to also, you know, be willing to say we're not going to take this rewriting of the language, and we're not going to believe that people are victims when they're in fact facing the greatest opportunities that have ever been accorded to human beings in history.
Yeah, you can accomplish anything here. Heather McDonald, the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute, contributing editor at City Journal, also the recipient of the 2005 Bradley Prize for Outstanding Intellectual Achievement. Good luck with that today, trying to find intellects out there today. Heather, I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
There you have it. Heather McDonald, everybody. Yeah. Microaggression. Here's some microaggression for you. But you couldn't see it.
Steve Gruber Show. Get the news and information vital to your world.
In a white room with black curtains near the station. Black roof country. No.
All right, welcome back. It's Wednesday. Coming to you live from the studios of WMKT Petoskey. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Broadcast on 17 stations statewide, and just glad to have you on board as well. Glad to have you on board as well as we make our way around the state. This hour brought to you in part by Mesa. Good health, good business, great schools. All right, so let me ask you a question. Let me just ask you a question because I'm confused, and maybe you can help me out. By the way, the hotline, 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966 is the hotline number, because maybe you can help me sort this one out. If you go to fill out an application form for anything, medical or business or whatever it may be, how many gender possibilities are there? It's a serious question. Stop. It's a serious question. Don't look at me like that. I ask because to me, I'm maybe a bit old-fashioned, maybe a bit closeted, a bit of a Neanderthal. But I have this crazy notion there are two possible gender choices. It's a crazy idea, I realize. And possibly three. Male, female, and on rare occasion, a hermaphrodite, showing no sexual orientation at all, or sexual orientation in both directions. But here's my problem with all this. Questions about gender identity and sexual orientation have now been added to the admissions applications used by the University of California system, including no less than six choices for students when checking off their gender. Now, the new questions posed to those seeking admittance to the system, which educates 250,000 students enrolled on 10 campuses statewide, is how do you describe yourself? The choices are as follows. Male, female, trans male or trans man, trans female or trans woman, gender queer / gender nonconforming, or different identity. What, you identify as a Labrador Retriever? I'm sorry, but this hogwash has gone too far. And this has just become hogwash. I had said I wouldn't talk about this much, but let's get down to brass tacks just for a moment. Bruce Jenner can tell you no more about childbearing or menstruation than I can. Well, he identifies as a woman. And so what? He's not going to tell you about childbearing or his monthly cycle as a woman would be able to explain it to you. He's not the guy I want around when a young woman has her first period. Period. And it doesn't matter how he feels. His XY chromosome at the end of the day will still be an X and Y chromosome. So let's stop this foolishness. Well, how do you feel? How do you identify? You know what? That's okay if you're six and playing into childhood fantasies. These are adults. They're now playing with our children. Adult fantasies playing with your children. And listen, this confounds some people, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. I am unaffected by gay marriage. I am relatively unaffected by the Supreme Court ruling. And I know for some of you are going to say, well, gee, Steve, I thought you were a conservative. I am conservative. I'm also libertarian to a great extent. I don't care. If a gay couple gets married, that's up to them. As long as they don't bother me, I'm okay with it. But here's where this transgender thing becomes a big mess for all of us. And I go back to the workout facilities and so forth, and a trans female or whatever, a man walks through the locker room, and my 10-year-old daughter is in there. I'm sorry, he has no business being in there. Well, he identifies as a woman. I don't care what he identifies as. Go identify somewhere else. Because to me, that's crossing a line. If there's an adult man with functioning male parts, he has no business, no business whatsoever, being in a locker room with my daughter, period. And for the University of California, and the person in charge of the University of California is Janet Napolitano. Janet Napolitano from, you know, her time in the Clinton administration and working with the Obama administration and all this nonsense. In addition, the university is initiating a 2-year project designed to coordinate and promote interdisciplinary study of genders and sexualities across the UC system. Why? Well, here's what they tell us. Here's what he's here to tell us. The project will include convening UC stakeholders to identify ways to advance student learning about LGBT issues and conclude with a system-wide symposium that will showcase research from students and faculty in the fields of gender and sexuality. Genders and sexualities. You know, gender isn't something you put on like a shirt, all right? Or pick your garment. It doesn't work that way. And I for one, have had my fill of this. And again, I'm perfectly fine with gay marriage and the Supreme Court ruling. You may not be for a variety of reasons, and I respect that too. But in this particular case, this whole transgender thing has gone too far. The University of California, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. This is not learning. This is indoctrination. And frankly, it's irritating to common sense people. It's Wednesday. It's the Steve Gruber Show.